Acts chapter 2. I know that we are over a month away from Pentecost Sunday, but this is where my assignment leads me tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Look at the person beside you and say, God's personal. He is such a personal God that when he sent the Spirit, it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Let's go down to verse 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. You can go ahead and be seated. Did I say Galileans? Didn't I? Okay. Suddenly, the Bible says, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly means we serve a God who can move swiftly. A lot of times when God hasn't moved yet, we get a little concerned because he hasn't shown up when we need him to show up. But God can move very swiftly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how fast God can move. The Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think by the power that works in us. In just a moment, hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. There is a hearing. There's sometimes, and I can't explain it. Jason, it's weird, and Dustin can probably attest to this. I work on a highwall miner, and there's days that I've been running that miner, and I hear a sound, and I can't explain it, but I'll get on the CB and go, get ready, boys. We're getting ready to burn this coal seam up. I can't explain it. I don't know how it works, but you just hear it. And when I hear it, there's certain things that we hear in our life that other people can't hear. There's a story of a man, and it was a boy and his mother, and they're sitting at the red light, and they look over, and there's a young man that pulled up beside of them, and man, he's over there. He's going to town. And the mother looked over and said, look at that boy. What is wrong with him? I mean, he is getting it, man. And she said, look at him. That's crazy. What would make him act like that? And the boy looked at his mother and he said, Mom, you just don't hear the music. See, I think sometimes the world doesn't understand the way I act because the world just don't hear the music. They don't hear the sound that I hear. And the sound that I hear wasn't manufactured here on earth. The sound came from heaven. It wasn't produced here. It came from another realm. See, this thing I got don't always fit in here on this earth, because I don't know if you know this or not. It wasn't manufactured on earth. It wasn't made in earth, but it came from another realm. It came from heaven. And this thing that I got, I've been called to be an ambassador, and because I am an ambassador, I'm an ambassador from another country. I feel preachy. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This ain't the place that I'm going to set up camp, but God has called me to bring forth something while I'm here. You've been called to be an ambassador. That means you're going to have to speak on behalf of your country. Came from heaven, and it was a mighty wind, full of power, full of strength. We do not serve an anemic God. We don't serve a weak God. And let me insert this into your thinking. He's not coming back after a bride that is weak and frail and not accomplishing anything. No, the Bible says he's coming back after a bride that has made herself ready. Let me tell you something about the true church, the real church. The real church, the gates of hell can't prevail against that church. The real church is built on a rock. The real church understands what she's called to do. Most major denominations right now are losing memberships. Look it up. Baptist, Methodist, just look them up. Just look them all up and you'll see that most major denominations are reporting people aren't coming to church. But there's one group in the middle of all the Protestants that is still growing. It's people that believe in the moving of the Spirit. It was the Pope quite a few years back asked to sit down with the leaders of Pentecostal churches. The reason he wanted to sit down with the leaders of Pentecostal churches is because the leaders of Pentecostal churches are the ones that give him the most grief. And he wanted to sit down and try to find common ground. The other reason, Darren, is because the Pentecostal movement is still growing inside of a religion that people have lost interest in. And let me tell you the truth, people have lost interest in church that doesn't have the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I sure did. Years ago, I lost interest in church that didn't have a moving of the Spirit. There's got to be something more than just coming to a church and sitting in a pew without the moving of the Spirit. And when I read the book of Acts, he said there came a rushing, mighty wind. What we need in this hour is the wind to blow again. Amen. People are hungry. People are searching. And religion ain't getting it done. A neat, nicely packed little sermon is not getting it done. Amen. Yeah, you know what? We can come in. We can sit down. I can give you a nice little lecture. We can talk about the importance of apologetics. We can talk about the legal side of justification. We can do all of that. And our intellect will grow. And let me tell you something about knowledge. It puffs up. And we can learn about this theology and that theology, replacement theology, and we can talk about all of these things. But if the Spirit is not moving, we have a problem. Because all we do is walk out of here educated but still miserable. Educated wondering where God is. Educated but we're still wondering where is the move of the Spirit. The disciples understood something. They were with Jesus. And when they stood up and began to speak his word, the Bible says that they were uneducated and they were ignorant. But they could perceive that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. Just give me the Holy Spirit. If you give me that Spirit moving in the word, people begin to be fed. Can you say amen? Amen. Man, I've seen some stuff the last couple of weeks. I want to share it with you. Cloven, divided tongues. Cloven is divided tongues as a fire set upon them. Set upon each of them. The idea behind the picture of fire in Scripture is the refiner. Because let me tell you what fire does. It purifies. It begins to burn away all the stuff that is temporary and only the solid remains. Now, this is so fitting for the Spirit when it moved on the day of Pentecost. It is so fitting because we've lost the purification of the Spirit. We want the power without the purity. Let me try that over here. We want the power, we want the demonstration, but we don't want the purity. This is Wednesday night. I feel comfortable doing this on Wednesday because if you come to church on Wednesday, you love Jesus. The old story is if people come on Sunday morning, they love their church. If they come on Sunday night, they love their pastor. If they come on Wednesday, they love Jesus. Purity and power go hand in hand. That was weak amens. We got to get this down. Because impurity blocks the power. Can I get in your living room? We may get by watching certain things, but we won't have the power that God ordained us to have. Yeah, we may get by listening to certain things, and we may have a sermon, but purity and power go together. The same fire that brought power brought purity, and that purity produced something. Amen. He's called us not just to be saved. He's called us to be sanctified. So you got to be holy to go to heaven. Yes, you do. How do you get holy? By the Holy Ghost. Not just abstract power, but purity. Why is it important? Acts 2 and 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This scripture has caused so much debate over the years. How many people in here? Let me do it like this. I'm going to repeat what Brandy's little girl said. She said, "Mom, the church that we go to is non-denominational, right?" She said, "Right." She said, "Well, somebody needs to tell them people they're Pentecostal." How many people in here classify yourself as Pentecostal? The majority of us? Do we have any Baptists in here? Any Methodists? We got a few Baptists. Baptocostals, I think there's like a mixed thing in there. They call them Baptocostals. There's a lot of debate about this scripture. What went on? Something went on. Something interesting went on. And here's where we spend our time. Here's where we spend all of our time in this scripture. They begin to speak with other tongues. And we camp out there in the tongue part. And we're trying to figure out what exactly happened. Give me my definition of tongues. Tongues, glossa. It can be the tongue, literally your tongue. Or it can be a language used by a particular people distinct from that of other nations. Glossa is language. So they begin to speak a language. Ask you a question. What language do they speak in heaven? English. And they better. Because when I get there, if they don't know English, they can get out. Come to my country, you better know, you live in my heaven, you better know my language. What did, when God said, "Let there be light," what language did he speak? King James. What is the language of heaven? And we get caught up on this tongue thing, and we try, and man, I'm telling you, we got doctrines built all around this. I've been in churches where people stand up and say, "I wish somebody get drunk in the spirit and start speaking. I wish we'd all start speaking in tongues." You got a little nervous. I wish we'd all just speak in tongues. Everybody, that. Paul said, if somebody walks into the assembly and we're all speaking in tongues, what'd he say, Eddie? They're going to be like, many people are mad. Like I went to the wrong church. They went down there speaking something different. I didn't get it. He said that. But yet I've heard people build doctrines about it, about them speaking. The glossa is the language. Watch this. Acts 2 and 6. I'm going to get somewhere. Listen, I'm going to set a foundation. I may bore you for a minute, but then I want to get somewhere. Acts 2 and 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So here's the debate. Some people think they were speaking Babel. Some people think that they were speaking and got the gift to speak other languages. Which you decide. Which camp you on? Because people, I mean, when we read this, it's not incomplete. It's very complete. But we miss a part. Watch this. Language. Give me a definition there. Dialectos. Conversation, speech, discourse, language, right? Each one heard in their own framework. Now, let me say that again. Each person, And there's a list of all the countries that are there. They all heard in their own framework. In their own, this is where we get our word dialect from. So not only their own language, their own dialect. If you don't think people don't have different dialects, then I don't know where you live in the same country or state that I live in. A buddy of mine from McDowell County, MacDowell, we went to Ohio together. And we pulled in on the strip job, and the strip boss pulled up and said, "How you guys doing today?" To which he replied, "Ah, buddy, we're making it right there." To which he replied, "What?" To which I replied, "He said we're doing good this morning. Thanks for asking." To which he replied, "Oh." To which my friend replied, "I don't need an interpreter." To which I replied, "Yes, you do." We have talked about that for years. We'd go through a drive-thru. I'd have to lean over him. Not only they heard in their own framework. This is a miracle. This is an absolute miracle. And let me tell you what we need. We need this miracle operating in the church right now. And I'm going to tell you why. This conversation, they begin to hear in their own dialect. Now, dialect, the root word, give me the root word. This is real important. Is deolegomai. Now, this is to think different things with oneself. This is where the word dialect comes from. It's not just about the way you talk. It's about the way you think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, is it okay if I tell him what I told you before church? Listen, Darren is a very educated man. He talks really good. Unless he's at my house. Then he puts his guard down and he's just daring. Man, he does fantastic. He's educated, he's smart. But in Sunday school, I noticed something. He don't say heathen. Has anybody picked that up? In Sunday school, he calls them heathens. He puts an R in there. You know why he puts an R in there? Because he's from East Gulf. Or wherever you from, where you from. And you know what people down in the holler call heathens? Heathens. They put an R. I don't know where the R comes from. But he brought it to Sunday school with him. You know why? Because it's in there. East Gulf is in there. And sometimes East Gulf comes out. No matter how. Johnny said, yeah. So deep down, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sometimes it'll betray us. How do I say this? How do I say this so that we can understand it? He to converse, discourse with one, this starts with the way you think. What you say is a direct result of how you think. So this makes it even better. Gooder. This makes it even gooder. What makes it better is this. Not only was they hearing in their language, they was hearing in their thinking. Ah, this is really awesome. This is really, really awesome. Because something, there's a word in here that when we're doing the tongue debate and whether they were speaking in languages or whether they were speaking in an unknown tongue, and then God did, there's a word that we leave out. In this study, we leave this word out. Give me my next definitions. It's apothegmai. It's utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. This is so good. Hold on. Utterance is not a word of everyday speech. But belonging to dignified and elevated discourse. The Spirit did that. See, we're getting caught up on whether the person that, did they have the gift or didn't they have the gift? What gift was they using? No, here's the ticket. The Spirit was speaking, but the Spirit was also elevating their discourse. Ah, this is so good. Why is it good? Because even when I don't say it right, the Spirit has a way of moving in and elevating what I'm saying to a different level. To what end? That they hear in their own dialect. So check this out. I Saturday morning, I got a meeting. And I got a meeting with a guy. He's a young man. And some Muslims have got a hold of him, and they're trying to convert him from Christianity to Islam. And he's almost converted. He's almost converted. So a pastor of the church reached out to me and said, "Hey, man, can you talk to him? I heard you know a lot about apologetics." Oh, I'm ready. On all the info, I'm so excited. I am so excited. Why? Because God's given me an opportunity. But I'm not praying that I go in there with the right apologetics. I'm praying for utterance. This is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for God to take whatever I'm saying and somehow elevate it to where he can hear it in his own framework. See, I got a God that can take just a hallelujah and he can elevate it and it can enter into their ears and change everything. So long, we try to make our, we got to be, is oratorical a word? If not, I invented it. We're worried about our oratory. We're worried about how we say it and make sure that our sermon has 3 points and that we wrap it all in at the end and that it makes sense to everybody. You know what? We need to be ready. But what we need to be praying for is, God, give me utterance. God, give me utterance. I need your Spirit to take whatever. Now this ain't just tongues. There's 2 other times this word is used in Scripture. It's only used 3 times in Scripture. Let me show you the next one. Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. When Peter began to speak, the word here is not just glossa. He began to speak clearly, but the word is apothegma. He began to speak with utterance. Now, I want you to watch this really, really close. When the Spirit begins to elevate our speech, one of 2 things happens. People discredit it, or they get converted by it, or almost converted. They move one way or the other. They either move toward it or they move away from it. How do I know? Because when the Spirit was given utterance on the day of Pentecost, some people marveled and they were ready to receive it, and 3,000 people got saved when the Spirit was given utterance. But on the other side, some people were balking, saying, "These guys are drunk." Now let me clear this up. Let me clear this up real quick. Peter said, "These men are not drunk." They're not drunk as ye suppose. He began to use words that God gave the utterance to. Are you following me? Is everybody with me so far? Another time it's used. Acts 26, 24. Last time this word is used. This is Paul. And as he thus spake for himself, I love this name. I'm telling you, the Bible, we're country people. Festus said with a loud voice, listen, he lifted up his voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee See what's going on here? Watch what happens. When the Spirit gives utterance, some people discredit it. They say they're crazy, they're drunk, they're mad. Watch what Paul says. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad. Most noble Festus. I don't know how noble and Festus goes in the same sentence. Matt Dillon and Miss Kitty and Festus. I don't know why that comes to my mind every time I read this. Was his name Matt Dillon? Was that right? But speak. There's the word again. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Do you see this? He says, man, you're mad. He said, man, I'm sober. But something's going on in the spirit. To where when the spirit moves like this, Eddie, people are either going to come to the altar or they go to the bathroom. I see it every service. God's drawing, he's calling, he's pulling, and the spirit is moving. And you know what people do? They either come toward it or they walk away from it. Man, how awesome was Sunday? Soon as the altar call started, somebody's willing to move forward, but other people move away. Do you know what we need? We need a movement of the Spirit to where either people move toward it or they move away from it. You see, we're worried about offending people and we're worried about bothering people. Let me tell you about the Spirit. When the Spirit starts moving, it doesn't, as a matter of fact, he's not worried about grieving them. He said, don't grieve the Spirit. Let the Spirit move. We're worried about everybody, and the Spirit needs to move because he can do the work and elevate what we're trying to do. Am I making sense? Because I see it when the singers sing. You ever sang a song and the utterance wasn't there? Tracy? Where's the other singer? Josh, you ever been excited about singing a song and you sang it and we all go? Hate to tell you, it ain't on us, it's on y'all. You need utterance. You ever preach a sermon and man, you were ready. Oh, you was fired up and you was ready. And you came to church and you preached and everybody's like. I seen something Saturday. I saw something Saturday. I have seen, since we're on language. I saw something Saturday. Sam, I seen something different out of you Saturday. When you was preaching, I heard something different. Anybody witness? Anybody witness? It was different. You made me want to preach, repent, cry, and shout all in the same sermon. But guess what? It wasn't you. It was the Spirit. So I asked Sam, being the pastor of the church, I asked him, I said, hey, Sam, did you prepare any different for Saturday's sermon? No. Can I read him your text? Because that will really sum this up really good. Is that okay? He said, I will say communion moved me deeply that day. As far as prep, nothing different. However, listen to this. Our communion service was part of the prep. Listen to this. This is really, really good. This is Sam. Y'all can quote him. You can tweet this, exit, whatever you need to do. It prepared me rather than preparing my words. Let me say that again. He said, it prepared me rather than preparing the words. Communion did that. So back up. On the day of Pentecost, they had been in the upper room for 10 days in communion. When they came out, they had utterance. So when he texted me that, I said, this is what I said. I said this in my head, and I heard it. I said, well, we can't have communion every day. I was talking about the table, and then I went, yeah, we can. I was thinking we can't have a communion service every service before we preach so that we're ready, but we can have communion. Because let me tell you what the most important part of us reaching out to the lost is communion with Him. Listen to me, singers. The most important part of your song is your communion with Him. Preachers, the most important part of your sermon is your communion with Him. Parishioners, the most important part of our life is communion with Him. So when we walk in communion and we have an opportunity, we have an anointing dripping off of us that begins to give utterance and begins to elevate our dialect and begins to elevate our discourse to where people begin to hear in their framework exactly what they need to hear so that God can do a work in their life. Communion is important. I've said this for years, and I understand it even better now. You can only preach as good as you can pray. If you can't talk to God, you can't talk to God's people. Communion. I have came to church and completely messed the sermon up. You didn't know it. I've been doing this a long time. I can hide it. Or sometimes maybe you do know it. Tracy knows it. She don't cut me much slack, man. Like, I say, honey, how was the sermon? That's okay. Man, when we're going home, she's heard me preach for 30 years now. Then we're driving home, and I say, honey, how was the sermon? She says, great. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Tracy said, great. Yeah. I've came to church, had my sermon ready, and nothing came out the way I wanted it to come out. And usually if that's happening, I'll ask y'all, is this making sense? And whether it is or not, y'all go, mm-hmm. Y'all need to quit lying. Mm-hmm, preacher, go ahead. It's making perfect sense. What's he talking about? And after the service, I'm on my way out, and multiple people will come up and say, man, you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea how bad I needed to hear that. For real? I didn't get to the point. I didn't even give you my main scripture, the power scripture. I didn't give you that. I forgot about it. I messed it up. And then you turn around and somebody else comes up. Man, that was just for me. That's utterance. That's utterance. How can two people listen to the same sermon and two different parts was just for them? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Spirit lets them hear in their framework when we are in communion. Come on, Aaron. Sing us a song. Tracy, sing a song. Somebody sing a song. As a matter of fact, I asked her to sing this song. You know why I asked her to sing this song? Because the Spirit wants to use us, but we need to be prepared for the Spirit to move us. I've been in church. I've been going to church my whole life. I know, but some people get aggravated when I say this, but people would get up to sing. They didn't practice. They didn't know what key they sang the song in. They'd start singing it. It sounded horrible. Then they blame it on the devil. And they say, the devil's got my tongue. No, the fact you didn't practice at all is what's got your tongue messed up. And then somebody in the congregation, has anybody ever been in church? They go, bless them, Lord. And I'm like, no, don't bless them, Lord. They just strolled in here, didn't give you any time at all. They didn't even try. They just up there winging it. I'm like, don't bless them. Let them fall flat on their face, Lord, till they learn to give you a little bit of time. But you know what's crazy about all that? I've seen people get up, and I knew they didn't practice. They'd look at the musicians, they'd say, find me, boys. They didn't know what key they sang it in. And I'm going to be honest. It was a little pitchy. But somehow, in the middle of that, the Spirit got a hold of it. And even if it was pitchy and they didn't practice, God got a hold of it. So it's not always in our prep, Sam. It's in our communion. I've heard some raspy stuff that was anointed. Out of key, out of tune, out of everything. But it was anointed. I've seen people forget their words and make them up as they go. And like, that ain't even in the song. But it was anointed. The world said, Paul, you're mad. He said, no, I'm anointed. I'm speaking to you on a different level. Because it's the Spirit speaking. You could say the same word, the same exact word, in different spirit, and it changes the effect. I got a job to do Saturday. I'm excited. I'm excited that I got picked. Do I have my apologetics right? I'm ready. Can I look at him and say, I don't understand how Islam believes in a virgin birth, believes that God somehow got a woman impregnated through the Spirit. And we believe in that, and we believe he's a prophet. How can Islam believe that, but yet say he can't be equal with God because we're monotheistic? I got an answer. And I'm ready. But more importantly, I don't know if y'all know this, but when I first got saved, I didn't know if I wanted to be saved. Because I read a statistic that said most people are what they are because that's what their parents are. So that means if you're Hindu, odds are you're Hindu because your mom and dad were Hindu. If you're a Muslim or if you practice Islam, it's because your parents practice Islam. And I didn't want to be a Christian just because my mom was a Christian. So I sat down and said, maybe I want to be a Hindu. And I studied. I said, maybe I want to be a Muslim. Maybe I want to be a Mormon. Maybe I want to be this. And I went through and I started studying. Maybe I want to be a Buddhist. I began to study them. And you know what I found out? Every religion in the world is based off of what their teacher teaches. Except one. There's only one. And it's not even a religion. Jesus didn't come to start the religion called Christianity. He came to destroy the works of the devil and get us back in communication. Communion. That's what he came to do. It's the only one, because we do not base what we believe on what Jesus taught. It is strictly based on one thing, who he is. Because never spake a man like this man spake. But unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. It's about who he was. So now he's alive. We need to come to you. God, get me ready. Prepare me. Prepare me. We all need to get ready. If God's dealing with you on your sanctification, you can come to the altar and pray. You can pray right where you're at. You can reach over and pray for the person beside you. Ask them to pray for you. But we need to pray, because what we need is utterance. And I believe that utterance comes through purity. I believe they were in the upper room and that fire burned all that stuff out of them. And so the Spirit could give them utterance. If you need to pray, you need to pray for you. You need to pray for one, whatever you need to do. As we sing this song, would you make a move?